on my third and next two deputies telling them play here. This is Samagwini Jimba, the Chief Financial Officer. Behind Samagwini Jimba in orange is Monsi Kemel of the school of Silaki. She is acting as Deputy Director General Women in Empowerment of Gender Equality.
We had a long meeting this morning. We started with a presentation by the AGE Did you say you got all the original things from here along? So this is your time if you can take over and bring the concept of your performance for the year 2015 and 2014. Very in line with this is surely the last thing you see on GTV to make a good buy today from you to continue with the other version of the work. But otherwise we call you. You do have all the power to someone send an interest or not send it to recognize it, so continuously go with that internet. Over to you, DJ.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members.
Maybe just for attending, you know, we had before you came in, we what members were consulted with regards to the late submission of the document. So we have discussed it, and the reason that we got from the committee that they should give us the document on time is that you submitted the annual report very late after the 6th of September. Maybe you can get an explanation for the reason for the resubmission, and even in terms of the public finance management, it's very clear that you are supposed to write to have a written document or provide a letter to the Speaker to state the reasons why you have submitted your annual report to the release. You know, this is a Convergence member. All of them today are very sophisticated to say they have not went through the entire annual report process. They have received the point. So can you get the reasons why you submitted the release?
The annual report is just in terms of the document, your pipeline certificate, it was tabled to the government after the date that it was due. And we apologize profusely for the services. I think services, as you see in our slide, we are a Department of Women, but we are presenting an annual report for the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities, which is normal. And therefore, we have to give the opportunity to the minister within this portfolio to go through what we had developed in the 2013-14 and allow the time to satisfy herself, because she then is the one who's feeling a report that talks to a period that she was not an executive authority of that particular department. And we really apologize for failing the report is that way, but we had to allow them the time to satisfy herself, because now she is the executive authority that is responsible for the Department of Women, and we are taking the report for the department that she was not responsible for, which is also no longer there. That's also compounded the challenge that this department that we are presenting the report for is no more. The executive authority of this department, the minister, is clear and adamant that we can develop from the report itself. Therefore, we have to extract some information in terms of the cost of preservation, which is not necessarily here at hand. But the minister is here in the approach that we would develop the call for the extract information from anything that is presented to the Parliament. We would discuss it as officials, between myself and officials in the Parliament. However, before we submit it to the Parliament, I have to set the accountable to the officer, sit down with the minister and take it through, because in essence, she is the one who is the member of parliament, and she's the one especially effective in which so we have to make sure that we sit down with the minister and take it through what we are going to present, especially if the annual report is chair on our members and she's not going to be present when we present it. Hence the delay in publishing the partial presentation. But I just hope, Chairperson, that at least the document itself, the hard copy, was presented to members before yesterday, because although it was late, but it did come in, I think that was 2 weeks ago. So it's just part that members did get hard copy. But the presentation, I know that it came yesterday, and we apologize.
thank you so much. Do you have any input or comments from the audience given by the global chair? That's it, that's my name. Hey, I am Professor Mitterrand from chair.
Seeing as it's made at the end of the day, we are the ones that are disadvantaged, right? So whatever the things that you can control, they is, and you should take that into consideration. Unfortunately, you and the minister, because at the end of the day, you don't know what else is going to touch you. We received the document. I have copies. You remember, Parliament has been closed for the last 2 weeks. So whatever time that you have sent the document, it is in the chat, you send your license, and we didn't get the document. It's only this morning that we have opened down and that we have received the document. Okay. I appreciate it. I couldn't be talking basically to the screen, because all of us didn't get the document, which is unfair. So it means that we will not be doing justice to the annual report, and something that all of us have seen, that we know what we're talking about. That's the opportunity part. But some of the things we have to hand them out somewhere with the minister, not only with yourself, but also with the minister, because on this side, we are not satisfied with what it says. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Chair, I have no other members to come to the what I'm going to say here now. Can we, you know, Honourable Chair, when we get this report there, this thing about the vision, the mission, and we know all the things about the department. Can't we just go into the business of this report here? And we don't hear this, all the mission statements and visions and all that. We know that we have to get to the business. We have to take the time to raise and no vision and all those great things.
Thank you so much. I thought you were commenting on the context that you were given. To Pretoria. Unfortunately, even the trend does not allow us. You know, next week we are supposed to, the Minister of Finance will be telling the MCBPS on Tuesday, the 22nd, and Parliament requesting all the portfolio committees actually to submit our budget review and recommendations to them, which will talk to the annual report that we will be presenting today. So because of time constraints, we are just for five consensus for you to allow you to present, but basically it's not supposed to be there. But otherwise, on our chain, you can keep it, but we'll discuss it with the minister somewhere, somehow, but we give a phrase of quote, you know what is our position regarding the late submission of the document. The second quote, which I honorable this, I think that taking into consideration. So if your those vision and missions of the them a few weeks break, we have interacted with the department regarding the quarterly report. So I think let's go straight to the people of okay. The
thank you, President. Thank you for the performance information.
If you are ready to make some remarks about the minister, when the minister is here, she will always give her political remarks about the annual report, the invitation to interview. And if you have the petition, you can also share with us before the DCC couldn't be called because of that.
Yes, I think mine will not be political, as you know. However, some of the things that we are significant to say. We have included in the presentation. But it is worth mentioning that for the 2013-2014 financial year, the department, since introducing the turnaround strategy in 2013, in the 12-13 financial year,
there was a shadow service that was in the department, proportion department in a subject that is aimed at ensuring that is stabilized, that its governance is improved, that the financial management and financial controls are in place, that the strategic objectives and strategic direction of the department is clearly articulated and monitored. And I am ready to report that, Jefferson, that as a field or an output of that exercise that was initiated before, the 2013-2014 financial reports that we are presenting annual quarter document here fails to show. I think that though we do not hear that the AC would have also at least supported that, say that from where we were in the department before to where we are now and what we are reporting now, there has been significant and massive improvement. The department has stabilized. The department has been in the right course in terms of ensuring that we've got good governance, so that we've got proper control in place, our financial management in place. Yes, we do have areas that we need to still also continue to improve and focus on. So I'm happy, therefore, to present the annual report to the Department of Management. That was my question before. Yes. So for the 2013-2014 financial year, yes, we had achieved 82% of the first target in terms of predictability objectives that we had set ourselves to achieve. And if you look at the next slide in terms of the progress, that 82% is for administration, 77% for women empowerment and gender equality. They've achieved everything that they've set themselves out to achieve. The right protection of children, the 91%, the right protection of disabilities, 40%. There was, as I indicated, when we presented our fourth quarter, that was the only program that's needed to be assisted in terms of the struggles that going forward we did improve. And as we went and into the fifth administration, we had also endorsed that we had appointed critical staff in the relevant staff programs within that program, and we were confident that going forward that is going to yield the results. Chair, just to confirm what I indicated, if you look at the comparative analysis of our performance for the past 4 years, you can see that the last clear path of improvement in terms of the performance from 40% when the department was in its stages, right to 82% is almost double the performance in terms of achieving what they set up for us to achieve. That's just the comparative analysis of the 2 years. Next one, teacher. If you look at the performance, also comparative analysis of the performance for the program, you can see that a green bar is indicating a department that was on its way towards ensuring that it delivers all the objectives that they set except for a repair program for that we were also going to be sure that we assist so that we turn around to the delivery that program. Next one. So that is financial information, honourable members. From the performance of 82% that they reported, we have spent 5% of our budget to realize that performance. Of course, the budget, as honourable members, includes an amount of money that we have to transfer to one of the chapter institutions that we mandated to transfer funding. The next one shows the governance in terms of right set, what is it is that we have achieved the strengthening of our governance. In terms of risk management, we have set up a risk management unit, which is not necessary. We have set up the risk management function that was strengthened by the appointment of a dedicated risk specialist, and we've done all the requisites processes that needed to be done in order to make sure that function is delivered on its mandate. We had risk assessment,
so that the internal audit unit would audit our systems as informed by the risk that has been identified. So we are happy for that. We also even introduced a fraud and corruption policy and framework, and we even have the hotline system that we introduced so that people can be able to do whistleblowing within. So we are happy for that, even with the hotline of the president, we don't have any reported cases that we have looked at that are outstanding or we have not addressed, and it's very smooth that has come through. But if you have a process of consent, chair and honorable members, number 150, we have got the vacancy rate and the program. You can see that in terms of children's rights, we have 100% and the fulfilling of the vacancy is the next last year. And the overall vacancy rate for years, the previous year was 11.9%. We have 14% in terms of national presence with disabilities, 12% administration, and 11% women empowerment and gender equality. But if you compare that with the previous age, what is affected as the vacancy rate and one of the members is 10% for our disabilities. But if you look at where we come from in terms of the previous year, we can see that we have improved in terms of filling the funded vacancies. So we improved from 15.8% to 15% to around about 12.4%. So we're happy for that. As far as the reasons for people that have left, you can see one was dismissed, I think it was the director of services management, then early in the financial year, and prior to the contract expired, other things, as people move and get promotions being provided with us. In terms of equity, we can report that we've got a lot of African females in the department, and we're doing well as far as the productivity of women, especially at senior management settings. However, if we look at the graph, you can see that a lot of us are at a lower level in terms of classical levels, but we do have senior managers who are women. Our senior managers are mainly women. I just wanted to report briefly on the national macroorganization of the state in terms of the transition from the fourth administration to the fifth administration. We have successfully transferred the position in the two functions, children's rights and rights of persons with disabilities, that were finalized. We also supported the transfer support staff to support the functions that are transferred over. Currently, we are remaining with two programs, that is program one and program two, and empowerment. Also, we have gone through a strategic exercise, management exercise, where we are developing our new strategic approach, and we have a requisite organizational structure that is going to enable us to deliver on that strategy, and we are in busy with achieving the goal. With the, we take that structure to the CBSA and also going to Treasury to seek funding for the structure. We have engaged the staff that are affected for the full transition and also implementing the change management strategy, and we have assigned one of our staff members to champion that. So that, as part of that, is what the trade we have finalized. In terms of financing, that's how the budget, that's how the $98 million is structured amongst the programs. As I indicated, we spent 25% thereof. But that's the allocation of funding, and members have always been saying this is a culture that children's rights and rights of persons with disabilities will not be adequately funded, the same with the women empowerment and gender equality, but we are just going to be engaging that much of now that we have extended our mandate and are in the president. That is just a classical presentation of what has been in terms of economic classification of that amount of money, how much have we spent on compensation of employees, and how much have we was allocated, and how much have we spent on transfer, which may be a special transfer to the Commission of Gender Equality and other transfers. So, then we go to problem one, CDG, so in terms of they have achieved in terms of their targets that they set themselves up to do, and the next slide indicates what those achievements are. The only area that they did not achieve on that slide is the issue of the general disability of the education,
Chipley, they had time also for the set up to request for the monetary and evaluation tool. We also came out and decided that it was done by the Center for Scientific Research, which indicated that there is no dedicated monetary and evaluation, especially in the system days of activism coming. That's something that we are working on. The other area that they have not achieved is that program strengthening in the area of substance detection. We have conducted a study and we wanted to have 60% of staff indicating that they are excited and happy to work for the department. We did one study, we had to do follow-up studies, so that did not happen, but we did pick it up. But after we have gone through the change management process, well, at the point in time, then the animal that kicks in, and then so we need to allow that process to take its course and be finalized. Otherwise, that's a token one, and the budget that is utilized to realize that 77% of their performance is 92% of their budget. This was the second product checklist. They have done everything that they set themselves out to do. They have achieved 100% of their target. What they meant to do, they have set out to achieve, they have achieved. And they're happy for the cost that. I think the next thing that we need to do as a department is to then monitor and assess the impact of what we are reporting to have been achieved. Out of that 100% of achievement, they have spent 99% of their budget. The next one, Chair, is the children's budget of responsibilities, which has achieved 91% of their target. The only outstanding target that has been achieved is the, which we have also reported in the last quarter, is the child-friendly community model that they wanted to launch. And they have spent 99% of their budget to achieve. The last one which I had indicated needed, we had a strategy to turn around the performance this year, but to know that they will pick that up when they have been transferred to. It's the lack of persons with disabilities, which has achieved 40% of their target. You know, the disability rights campaign, that is going to be achieved now. Even this year, they've already submitted a concept on disability month and what they are going to do today. So it's the progress, one can confidently say the progress in terms of where that unit is going. And they spend 81% of their budget to achieve the 47%. Just the highlights in terms of what are the key highlights that we have done during the year. You would recall that the 25th of every month was declared as the Unite Say No to Violence Against Women and Girls, and that was launched in a number of provinces. This is just an indication of an event that took place at Kailisha in the Western Cape, and when we get to those provinces, we heard stories and listened to stories, and even Western Cape specifically, there were horrific stories of violence against lesbian women. So we listened to those stories. But also what is important is that where people would complain about their cases not being followed up, we would have the Department of Justice and the Department of Police, where they would take up and follow through, and I think we hear that. Very good results. I remember when we were in this state, we salvaged some children that were in a shed, they had been in a shed for years without going out, and they were taken to a place of safety. This one was also another response that we had done, especially in the district area where the roads took us in the field. So we took up the challenge and we went to the area and focused them on early childhood development and responsible parenting, because those children were very young, they were supposed to be seen at the early childhood centers, but also the parents had left them unattended. So they mobilized that community and went with staff and other departments and Department of Social Development at the time to encourage responsible parenting. The other highlight Shepherdson which we tell ourselves about is the program on encouraging young girls to take up careers in the fields of science, technology, engineering and math, and we were listening to stories from those young women, how this program has assisted them not only to continue studying but to also expose them to the fields of of science and technology, engineering and mathematics. That one, Tristan, was another highlight. Hopefully, we had one of our students sitting, we were sitting here from a wheelchair tennis South Africa, from a competition in America. He came back and I think but the other one, he had come back. So, look at for our prize as Andrew Sand for wheelchair tennis. Then, that one, Tristan, is a very important program that Deputy Minister has done in terms of encouraging the private sector to assist us in their corporate CSI, corporate social investment program. Here, specifically was the accessible computers for blind people so that they are able to work with computers which are tailor-made to assist them. And the disability, and that was created by MCS. This one was also the first. The Albanians in South Africa held their conference in Johannesburg, Beshwood, and there was a declaration that came out of that Beshwood declaration in preparation for the regional conference in Malawi. This company in Tanzania has a very good program that was championed by the disability unit. And of course, that indicated we had gone to cabinet and cabinet approved that the month from the 3rd of November to the 3rd of December be celebrated in the country as a disability month, and with the 3rd of December as the National Day of Persons with Disability. So those were just some of the highlights. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dicky. Thank you for saying we have a separate presentation with regards to the analysis for the different as a way of presentation or something. Thank you very much, Madam President. Thank you very much for the presentation. And I'll then allow the Honourable Member of the Parliament, Honourable Robinson. Honourable Robinson and myself. This is your time to interact with the department with regard to the presentation for the annual report to the agency. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Before I continue, I need to tell a few honorable chairperson because the first time that we have seen this here. This report is being presented as part here as we are dealing with the fee so far, and then next week we will have to go to Parliament, and we as well have to present it. Also I believe wrong correctly that the reason why we received this report is because this committee we'll have to make recommendations, is that correct? We'll have to make correct. So we have to make recommendations. You know, sitting from when we are my just when sitting here, it's extremely difficult for me if we after debating this report, it will be very difficult for me to make any recommendations. And I want you to correct me, Shepherd, if my understanding of the whole process is wrong. Because what has been presented was a lot of events that are taking place, that event was successful, that event. And my understanding is that in order for us to make a recommendations next week, that the department was supposed to come and provide us with an assessment of department civil service performance. That's what we wanted them to come and do a couple of assessments for us on your service delivery performance. I also believe that you should have provided us with an assessment of the effectiveness and efficiency of the department and the use of and allocations of available resources. I expected you were to give us the kind of presentation here. And I also thought that what we will get from this year that you will look at the socio-economic and economic needs of the country and see whether the presentation on the responsiveness of your department either economic and social economic elite of the country. Now the partners are also supposed to come here and plot in a strategic alignment of department of the department to national policy. The strategic alignment of the department to national policy. Also, what we expected, we dealt with good governance, we dealt with the issue of good governance, we dealt with the capacity of the department to spend and to perform, we dealt with that 90% of expenditure, we dealt with that part of it. But that does not mean, because you have spent the budget, that was well, money was well spent. Because then I look at, I see it on staff, I see it on the event. I thought we'll get a report like that from you. Maybe then, when we look at, when we present the report to us, then we'll be in a better position to take a proper decision, take proper decisions here, make proper recommendations. You see, I do not know, you see, the elections we went, our political parties went out, and all over South Africa, and they make promises to the electorate, to make promises. When I came to government, there is a lot of promises. All political parties make promises to the electorate when I came to issues related to women. And people in went out there went and vote. And they voted for the African National Congress because they believed in what we said, what we will do regarding women. And so we have located women. Now, when we the ruling party here, the department aware of what we have promised the people, women out here? Is this department aware of what we have promised? Because you then immediately must align your priorities to what was promised to people there. Because at the end of the day, 5 years from now, they'll say, yes, we have made false promises to them. So I do not even know the department knows what is our vision, what they promised women out here. So as you mentioned, whatever your program, the policies must be aligned to what we promised people out here. So either we will receive a report in that kind of order where we can then take proper decisions and make proper recommendations next week meeting. I'm not in a position to make any recommendations as I'm sitting here. Thank you.
Honorable Chen, Honorable McKenzie, Honorable Robinson,
Thank you, Chair. Some of my questions are based on what the World Health Organization says. It says their findings are that positions were the vacant, funded vacant posts were not filled within 12 months. That's required by public service act. And what were the reasons? But what he finds out, the recalls are that there are no monitoring controls in place that to monitor that electoral process. Maybe if the decision givers measures that they have put in place now, because then they couldn't do those things. And then on the presentation, it says there's a risk management specialist that was hired. I'm not sure how many, or is it one person, or how many people are there. But that's the person supposed to do the job. It says there's a lot of improvement that has happened. But what the Auditor General finds out is that they have no monitoring in terms of managing, there are any errors when they were submitting whatever materials that they have submitted to the Auditor General, and so there are no daily and monthly controls that monitors those financial statements. So if the risk management officer was there, what was he managing? And then in terms of leadership and internship, I'm not sure if you do say much about them. Do you have that kind of personnel? Because each department is composed to have internships and leadership. What also puzzled me was the huge number of resignations. 6 people resigned. What causes their resignations? And then there's one person that was dismissed. what is this person to be dismissed? And those that contract the fire, what do you do? Is there a vacation space for them? Who is doing that job? Because their contract has expired, you're not saying you have reduced their contract or not. Or the human resource that you have in place now, is it likely to do the same delivery that you expected to deliver? I think that is all for now.
Thank you very much. My pages or the questions I will come with it. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chef. I actually agree with the previous speaker. He said, mentioned that because we can't really make a proper relation. I think for me, it's really based on the fact that as the report was only provided this morning. But all that I would like to just highlight is that if it's possible, the programs going forward that we have, that maybe they could really focus on issues that really affect women on the ground. And especially things like, if you're talking about women empowerment, that we'd like to see real cases of how women have been empowered, and also we have to look at the number of women that we have empowered. It shouldn't be like maybe one person or maybe a couple of students that have been put through science and technology, whatever the science degree. But we have to have, I don't know if the fact that maybe there isn't enough money that you have, maybe that's older than our restriction, but it's good that we really see a real impact of this department on the ground. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I also associate myself with some of the comments made before. It is concerning, as you said, about the lack of sufficient financial control. They identified the fact that the supply chain management was not adequate and that you didn't comply with the recommended practices. They are not sufficient controls, again. Okay. And then I'm also interested to know, what actions are you taking against transgressors? If people have been found to make a mistake or to do something wrong that has a financial impact, they should bear the consequences. People should not just get away with it, or be transferred into another department. This has happened previously in the past, but yeah. We've also been told, and see for ourselves, that your administration, your staffing structure is top-heavy. Lots of people are put in senior positions of big salaries. But who's actually doing the work? And figures aren't accurate. And then events and programs, as mentioned by my colleague behind me. You have events, you've done this, you've done that. Money has been spent, you've got a box that you can check off. But what have you actually achieved through these various events? I think we need to see, is this department now really going to make a difference in the lives of women and in the quality of their experience of life? Are you really being effective? I think that's what we really want to see. We know you've got challenges, you have had, and you're on the way up. But I think if we can apply some of these, the result of some of these questions, we can see you improving greatly. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I think I wanted to add on what Honourable Congressman is saying, but just to amplify by saying, each and every event that you did you make a follow-up? Where are these people? You know, where you collaborated with the Commission on Gender and Equality, in terms of the output, for instance, did you educate the community to stop doing whatever that they were doing? I mean, practicing this place and all that. In spring, because there was the pages. In terms of your intervention, what was the impact of your intervention? The issues that you have given awareness and all that. Did you maybe follow up with social development because they are in charge of ECD? Are they ensuring that it is through their presence and all that? all those things. Then some of them, they don't need the budget from the department, just the collaboration of what department we give up, because we have identified the problem sheets that you find in the state, that we illustrate, you put them in a safe farm environment, are they in school, what is their future, you ensure that they have psychology, social networks, and all that, I mean, to bring them back to life and all that. So all those things, at the end, you own whatever you have that you have started. The techno girls, they are now with the DTI, where they are part of the DTI, so you collaborate with them and all that. I don't know. So all those information, I think it is necessary for us to advise and also to even come up with better methods of you engaging forward. How do you take women forward? I also agree, compared to other women ministries all over the world, our ministry is making impact on women. There's a lot of unemployment on women, there's a lot of inequalities. Are we making impact? Are you working with the labor department just to ensure that women are employed, women are taken care of and all that? Are we, as the other speaker said, in terms of national policies, are we coming out very strong, showing that there is something, a difference that we need to unionize? I mean, these 5 years, we must be able to, if we couldn't do it in the last 5 years, but it should have given us a lesson, it should have taught us something. We have been asking the Commission of Gender Equality, they're not coming up with tangible things today, they're not coming up with tangible problems that should have been better the lives of women, because that is their fundamental task. And fortunately now, you are given a task force focus on women. What is this that is going to be to change? Those women that are chewing, drop out, that are sitting, hiding in the township, making many babies, number of babies and all that, what impact are we making? Are we taking them out of poverty? Programs that are going to show us really, really, not programs that are going to show us the elite. We know that the elite can survive, but despite the abuse and all that, they can survive. But those ordinary women who don't know their future, they in school, are these women in school? We're not even progressing on removing issues, but there are departments that we can collaborate with to ensure that these adults are put back into school system. We may need to even come up with laws that force the government to just give them a chance in life so that they can go out of poverty. And these are women we're talking about, the world does not even look at them. Thank you.
We have different rounds here, so that's not important.
Thank you for the presentation. Attention by the Auditor General's report, we find this will identify during the auditing report of the department in CGE. Are there any mechanisms that the department is putting in place to address those observations? Especially also in discrepancies among relating to irregular and excess waste expenditure. Can the department also clarify on that? Also, we hear that there are problems in the CGE with regard to use of funds. What is the department doing to assist in that regard and preparing for the Auditor General? Because the CGE got a big allocation from the department. The last question is, it has also been said that there is non-compliance in some legislation by the department. What did the department do to impose this solution? Thank you.
Thank you very much. The panel members will have the second question. Some I know will be followed up to the questions that we initially raised. But I now request the DG and the team to respond on the questions that were raised. I'm not quite sure with regards to questions raised to Honorable Beng. The DG will do that next week. I think we'll have an opportunity to put some of the questions directly to them. Because the department, DG is accountable to us as a portfolio, as Parliament, but they're not accountable to the department. So we are meeting them next week today, so we'll address some of your questions to them. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for bringing your current city response. Allow me to check this in before I respond. I request the CPG corporate services to respond to a number of questions that were asked by Honorable Chair on the vacant position, on the intentions, the reasons for the dismissal, causes for the resignation, all those questions that relate to the issues to expire the contract, who fills the void. And then also I request the CFO to respond to questions that I asked, especially from the Honorable Robinson on the lack of sufficient financial control, or SAM control, top head structure, not able to respond, I can talk to that, the issues of irregular waste expenditure by Honorable Dane, non-compliance with education raised by the CTE. And then I will also come back and talk to some of the issues. And then the CDC journey will also respond to issues of children, six schools, and some of the colleagues are doing CDC. Thanks, Christian. Okay. With regards to the first question on the vacancies, we made a number of posts that were vacant, and I think due to the rigorous processes that we employed in recruitment, we were not able to fill some of the posts within the 12 months. I can say this about the post of the CFO. I think that one was vacant for the first 11 months, and that was the recruitment process high, far as high. Unfortunately, when we went to the fact that we didn't find people that qualified, and we had, you know, a number of processes. So it was just a very good process that we employed. And then we had the post, some posts eventually we had to, that were left really unfilled for that period, not because we disregarded them, but again, due to the process of recruitment, the verification of qualifications, because we use external agencies, but also the near clearance processes, one of the processes that we identified as contribution to the delay in filling the post. But eventually, we did fill the post. And then we do have a monitoring process. During the court after we've elevated the process of recruitment and filling of vacancies to a strategic level, we monitor on the quarterly targets to make sure that we are within the allowed vacancy rate of 10%. So we do have a monitoring process. But unfortunately the process is such that, you know, due to verification, external verification, we are not able to expedite it. With regard to intentions and mentorships, we have appointed, remember usually the first is to have a budget set aside for internships. Unfortunately in the year under review we did not have internships, but currently we do now have an internship program. Our intern has started. And in instances where contracts expire, some people were not able to extend their contracts because then they were not available for reappointment, but then we went and appointed new people. So that certainly would therefore reflect as a terminated contract, but it has not been less than the contract and not put again with another contractor. But there are some contractual extensions in the IT environment where we've been able to extend the work. However, it's not sufficient. Yes, people eventually end up with having to do more than what they are encouraged to do because of the vacancies that they have and the fact that some vacancies are not funded. The
appointment of a number of people at the senior management level. Again, in terms of how we ended up filling the post, we were guided by how much we had as a committee, which remember at some point the government was also spending on compensation. And then once we had stabilized, then we were not able to fill some of the posts, and in terms of the CDSA moves, then the posts had to be avoided. But looking forward, in the structure that we have proposed, we have provided for a proper structure that allows for a pyramid where we have proper a number of people, or the sufficient number of people doing the upfront work and then oversight and supervision as well. And with regards to some of the communities where we've been, while we have would very probably have shown one slide talking to a particular community, the department has actually engaged with some communities more than one. For instance, in Richmond, we have been to discuss more than one, and each interaction with the community would then require us to engage more people. For instance, initially we went responding to what had happened with those children and kids, but when we got there, we then identified other issues in terms of insufficient parental supervision of children and the lack of knowledge of what issues are available in government. And then collaborated with other problems and brought in social development and brought in other departments, including home affairs. So hence then eventually translated to an ECD and responsible parenting team in the next event that we had. But it was not necessarily that event, but it was community conversation and also meeting them up with government services. I think for now that is all that I can say.
In terms of the control structures indicated or alluded to as well as the management of those and the issues, the fact that we offer the cost for the committee on the quarterly basis, we do give the old committee an agile report in terms of how we are doing on the agile front. But also, especially for this particular period, just to add to this, you had some employees that have collected their signature, so one needed to also wait for that to go through the process and allow for that process to take its course. So those are some of the reasons that we had even shared with the agencies where they were doing an audit in the department. But also on some of the contact posts, we would say, for instance, at the end, we would get a financial assessment, but we get a specific contractor to assist with the asset management, counting of assets. So that would be the core of the contract, but it's not necessarily a long-term contract. It's a contract for that year end to deal with that specific need that is required. So that it's not a long-term solution, it's just an intervention for that particular schedule. So those are some of the contracts that we had to take, but then I think also the reason for the good service of the mother, the one particular subcontractor director.
Or the one employee that was terminated because in relation to the previous investigation that was initiated in 2012, on allegations of corruption and nepotism. So it's that what is a result of the internal disciplinary hearing.
Corruption, honorable chair and honorable member. As reported by the AG that the lack of control that has lack of financial control that has resulted in errors in financial statements. Yes, the report of the Auditor General reported that there were material misstatements in the financial statements. However, the committee would humbly request that if we can recall previously in the past, the report would have been less than this in 2012. So when we then started developing and introducing controls in 2013-14, we were around August 2013. By then, some of the transactions would have gone through, and they would have gone through maybe with some of the inadequate controls. So hence, then when Auditor General is then auditing for 2013-14, their sample would start in April 2013. By then, it's transactions that would have gone through, so we should not then go back and rectify. However, in this financial year, we tried to learn from our mistakes of 2012-2013. We then said, for the interim audit, before we start, because from April up to August, we are rushing business audits, let's do our own three audits of ourselves and check as to whether our vouchers have got errors and what. The challenge is still a little bit on others, but in terms of payment, SPM processes, we can relatively, and what I'm supposed to say, we have since improved. Even in this year, if we look at the irregular expenditure compared to last year, we've got far less transactions than what we have reported. And even the value is not even more than 500,000. I guess that's because we compare it with our budget, then maybe agencies which have material. In terms of transgressors of irregular expenditure, the process is those cases are investigated. If people then are found to be liable, they would either then have to pay for the social expenditure. For fruit and wasteful expenditure under the department, the one that we had to report were mainly on calculations of life. Maybe sometimes we have to come to Parliament and vote to come to Parliament and something else comes up. That may be portion of the etiquette that we have to cancel. Then become fruitless and wasteful because it's expenditure that was intended in vain. However, under other normal transactions, the government is very aware that we would have fruitless and wasteful. However, when we pick it up, we do in terms of reporting to the accounting office of the National Treasury report on that. The mechanism that has been put in place is that it's the pre-audit and the action plan that is provided to the audit committee on a quarterly basis in terms of progress of where we are in rectifying the findings that were reported by AGI, and it gets to be audited by internal audit. I think it's okay.
Thanks, Chair and Honourable Members. I think it's correct that members should be concerned that we not just believe financial relevance, but that there is impact on what we do. As raised by the Minister, by the then Minister, that this group seems to be having serious social problems. So there's a need for our intervention. And what we have realized is that there are many NGOs and government departments that are supposed to add value to the life of that specific community. And that the issue is for coordination. So we had taking that responsibility as a department to make sure that organizations work together, they're able to share resources, and in particular, if you look at when those incidents happen, we have to go in, and so that when we leave, we know that there's sustainable capacity within that community with regards to churches that are there, with regards to NGOs that work in that, you know, that they work together. So we're able to establish that in this group. So I think in amplifying what this gentleman was saying, that's basically our intervention that we were able to do. I think also, you know, when we issues that were raised that the expert committee on children felt that South Africa were not able to clearly, you know, elevate the good work that they do, because they were seeing us as kind of an example in the continent with regards to the status of children. And that these are some of the things. If you take, for instance, what we do with Fenotel, that we make sure that working with a service provider, we ensure that each department commits itself in terms of how many kids it will take or how many girls it will take in a given period, so that kids are able to expose in terms of the careers that are there available for them, and so that when they graduate from matric, they're able to know upfront that this is a career that I'll be able to take and that I understand what's involved in the career. So we've been able to do those things with various government departments, and we're seeing such an impact with regard to that progress. And I think that maybe we need to strengthen our reports by having those examples of best practice with regards to this particular process of developing health child with regards to the process. But I think for me, even if you go to what we do in terms of making sure that children don't only are concerned about their rights, but they're also taking responsibility about that, what they're supposed to do in the pursuit of their life. So we have been able to work with various charities of denomination in making sure that there's an elevation of the children must take responsibility also, not only be concerned about rights and also family, but that they must understand what is it that becomes their responsibility. And that there is a clear pattern with regards to that, and that churches have been able to also to work with us in promoting that, so that even if we're not there, there's somebody that is sustaining the work that we've already done. So this is the kind of approach that we've used in making sure that as honorable members are concerned, rightly so, that we can't just go in and go out and don't care, and not making sure that they sustain the work that we do.
Well, I think Chairperson, there was also another question around especially from the Olympics around what you are to do with this support. I suppose I'm not going to prescribe. But I think this is the report for the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities. And now we have a portfolio committee for women. We I don't know how we are going to address this, but as a department of women, we have got a strategy approach. We have got a strategy that we have developed. Mm-hmm. And we have supported in line with the picture of government to national shelter in the best class. And we are seeing the sense of what mandate was been given by the president. That of championing the transformation of the agenda as far as the economic empowerment of women is concerned. And we are clear sense of what our goal is. And I think many times it's articulated it before, that we are to oversee what other governments are doing towards the economic empowerment of women, including the private sector. So our focus is going to be ensuring that we monitor and evaluate what other governments are doing. We ensure that we conduct analysis of policies and programs of government and identify those here, so that when we come to this platform, we say, that is what we've done. We look at justice platforms or justice sectors, and we identify the pieces of legislation and policies that go within, and what it is that is stopping women from advancing, or what it is that is leading women vulnerable to abuse or abuse. Like we've got that those pieces of legislation and those policies and those programs that are there to ensure that women are protected and their rights are promoted. That we have to oversee. I want a status because of women. I overthrew the system. What we need to do as well. How far are you, Department of Women, towards ensuring that can't overthrow the system? We are clear, we've got a report that we're presenting to the person and said, what is the status of women in Cambodia? So I'm not sure what I'm responding. I don't think I will be able to answer. But this annual report before the department that no more. And this portfolio committee is for the new department that is just started, that has just been proclaimed on the 8th of July. So perhaps the chairperson will know how to deal with that. But we also take the two examples from the National Development. What we have done is to analyze also the energy. To say, what does it say about energy? And already we are finding it, as far as that document is concerned, in terms of what it says about women and the empowerment of women, and so they're going to empowerment of women. We need them to say, what are the interventions that we propose to be put in place in order to ensure that the gaps that we have identified is narrowed. So, Chairperson, I'm not sure that I'm assisting, but that's how I would respond to what Honourable Director said. I'm not sure whether SNCC she wants to say anything about technical and PCI.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you, Chairman, and Honourable Members. I think DG20 has started responding to the issue of the Technoville program, and I just had one to Tuesday. So the Technoville program in total has worked with 9,000 girls so far. So it's not just one or two girls. And it's also been a more comprehensive program in that looking at not girls from grade 9 to 12 only, but also how do we support them as a department going into higher education and partnering with that. But not only that, how do we get them to go into internship programs or learnership programs with the private sector, for instance? And so that's a more comprehensive program. And already as we go into that next phase, find that they're both not be able to enter university or institutions of higher learning due to them not being able to, some of them just don't have the 300 grants to apply for virtue, for example. That's one of the things that we should see there. So they actually reach responsibility either because after high school, they're not basic education, but they're on higher education as a they're in between. So that's another gap that we identified with the technical program. So we also want to ensure that as we increase the numbers, we can actually sustain them in a continuum in that sense. In terms of the DTI, what it is trying to say is that we approach just about every single department and all 3,000 private sector companies to say to them, can you take on girls and during all day school holidays? Now what you find that projects were taken on girls that are also called techno girls. So now it would seem like the techno girl is a DTI program. When we discovered that we did have an engagement with DTI as we last, it was during the past financial year, we were saying to them, calling it techno girl creates a bit of a problem because we then have to respond to such questions and say, but techno girl isn't a DTI. But actually the tech folks also even have this going to the reality of whose name is this. But it's a technical program which we partnered with the Department of Basic Education, ourselves, and what we call the Women's Department, who are the people who actually are driving and finding the girls out to give them access to government departments and make sure that when they approach private sector, they're not approaching them as themselves, but they know that they're working with government. So their day is a technical program in its entirety. Thank you.
On how they're going to respond to empower women economically and how to empower rural women. And you might have to see whether the agrarian plan and get a mistake, how you strategically link to national policies of government, you know, the national department, in order to address the issue of economic empowerment of women and the application of politics. It must be a program that applies to the whole country and the provinces that we all can implement. But the department has to be linked strategically to national departments and the policies of national government. That is the report you want here. If we had the whole committee deals with women, when we go there, we're going to deal with issues of women. You know that the report is run about the issue of the report. You do not have it in run about. That's the report we need in order for us to make recommendations to ensure that we address this issue of empowerment of women. And not only of empowerment of women, of all issues affecting women. You touched on it in the report, the issue about the abuse of women. You don't want, you say we have intervened where women was murdered and where women was raped, we have intervened there. There must be a clear program on how we're going to protect women in this country. How are we going to safeguard women in the country and protect them? We must have this program and plan in place, and then if it is our plan for the next 5 years for addressing this issue. That's the people who can please give us this report so we can start engaging on that report. Thank you. So what you're saying is correct. The idea of what you trying to see, that is correct. That's what we want. And we want it because we can engage to make recommendations. Thank you.
To the question raised by Majid of the issue of women and women, what is the pressure doing? Because part of your mandate is don't indicate activity, but what is the pressure doing to make sure that women of this country are empowered? Hello, Majid, we have all Shem and Majid in front.
I think the problem with the DGN team is that they are very economic with information. Actually, we are the mouthpiece of government, and what you need to assist us with, because we go to communities and speak on behalf of government, but communities don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing. I'm sitting in this committee. I don't know what you're doing. And I'm seeing you know, because you say you have no girls, and yes, it's something that you have done. I don't know. I've seen them with the DTI, and I've never seen them with their girls. You see? So, and, you know, everywhere you go, women are undermined because they don't know what to do. And, you know, there's one thing about women. Women are detained, you know, but in your report, they are not detained. So, I don't know, you imitate emails, because this is the men's world. I don't know what you're doing. But, I'm prepared to go out there and say the Department of Women, we fought for this department. We fought for this ministry to be here. You know, it has been moved from peer support and all that. But you're not assisting us to end less to spend on. I mean, we go to conferences and defend us. So all I need is that when you talk about intentions, you are struggling to get an accountant to do your CFO measures. I'm not a CFO, I don't even know what they do with the numbers, but all I know is that a department can't operate without a CFO. So if you get an internship, you're supposed to put a mentor for that internship to do whatever finances. So you can put 3 or 4 interns. He has not told me what these interns are doing. You have not told me. Where did you put those intents? You put them somewhere in the desk. I don't know. You should have said, no, I have put the intents in the CFO's desk so that the CFO can mention his key so that when we need a qualified person, we can run around, we take them through. You can take them into any management whilst you're still waiting for the CFO to come in and go. But in the meantime, there will be actually the department to us. Those are decisions that we need. We don't know where you put the intent or the learnership. Some learnership programs are put in place after a few of them have just come today. Where do you put it? They're taking posts. Where do you fit in? Do you give them contracts for them to work and even ask the department to learn them how government? You know, government has not built its own resources. It wants to get labor brokers to come and do whatever government has done. We will never start in government as long as we do all those things. The other issue is the issue of corruption. What happens with it is that the transgressors, what do you do with them? You said they are paying, if you call them to pay whatever that they have transgressed. But you never told us, what did you do with the person that you expelled there? Did you make that person pay? Was this person put in jail? Whatever. What am I going to tell the people if they ask me? If I'm asking, you see, you know, because there's a person who has been expelled because that person is corrupt. What did you do? No, nobody in the ANC does not do anything to corrupt people. They give them to other departments. Is this person still lingering around? I don't know. And I really don't understand why you don't give us information. So the other issue is the issue of the disclosing. If you're supposed to tell me how many ECDs were established by social development, how many people were, I mean, the DDG says, he says that they churches, which churches are they disclosed or out of disclosure? So that when I go and speak in disclosure, and I will say, church, whatever, you are given responsibility, you are rich to do what you need. You know? I don't have that information. We are talking, there are so many churches, 1,000 churches the other day. I don't know which church you have engaged, which NGO you have engaged. So that they take responsibility. Government gives them the resources to take those resources to communities. But these NGOs never help government or anything. They come back and say, government did not do anything for us. When I go to this work to me, this NGO comes to me and says, you know, I've been an NGO and nothing has been done about my situation and all that. I don't know the NGOs that you have engaged. You see? So even if all we need is that I have engaged NGO, whatever, church, whatever, they have been left with the responsibility to do ECDs and you go and monitor them for time. Even if you just go and visit them, they don't announce them. See, if they're still continuing with your progress. That's the only thing that we need. There's no need for you to defend yourself because at the end of the day, it is government that has federation. You know, the past 20 years, we are unable to claim things that we have done. You know, as government, it comes very clearly that this is what we have done for our people. You know? And it doesn't have to end with the department. You are officials to help us have the information to go and implement what we suggest you to someone. And then you come back and give us the information, go to the people and say, this is what we have delivered on, this is, and you see the department like this. You don't see the information that's about the women's news. That Peter is supposed. He does not deliver, it's a duplication and all that and all that. But there are good things that we do. And these good things need to tell us so that we go there. And we have been telling the minister that in this period, this 5 years, we have to go and demand in departments to do exactly what is necessary must do. The many acts that impede women to continue with their lives. And these are the acts that we have without these acts to take us forward. We also want to make sure that these acts ensure, and Alaska is the only country that comes out boldly, that even comes out and speak out whatever problems that they have. But at the same time, the implementation part is not as good as Justice Department is training us left and right, you know? But it's not only Justice Department, it's Labor Department, it's agriculture, it's everywhere, all the departments. That is implementing because we are not coming strongly to say we demand that you do 1, 2, 3, we're not department, whatever department. We don't have to be friends. All we have to do is use our muscles for monitoring and making sure that we deliver what we need. We need to assist you, but we're not, you must help us to assist you. You must give us information. If now you say, even when you talk about all this legislation, there are many legislations that we are looking at, which are going to give you. We see in our strategy. I'm not sharing the strategy alone in the moment. The strategy is going to come with me that I have been working tomorrow. And we said to the minister, give us the information, all of us must read it, so that we help you to deliver
whatever. If you're saying that the legislation that you're reading, which we passed in the last 8 years, give us the legislation that you are working on, so that all of us can really help you to develop better strategies, because if you are a collective, you develop better. But if you come with a strategy today, and then you say tomorrow, I'll attend those things. I'll come and do it next week. Then tomorrow is not implementable, and then you wonder, how am I going to stand up and say, I don't know it, because they said, that's what I must do. But for us to work together, he said we must review all the rules that are there. If possible, we can identify five of them. We all just go through all of them, identify five, and say, within these five. But he promised us that he's going to look at the policies at the DCR. Now you need to look at policies, all of them, and all the others. She said he doesn't want to do everything. She was focused on the DCR. Now he's coming up with another report that she's going to look at all these other policies. So we don't have the company to do all these policies, but he said we must focus. Once we have focused on the regional expertise, what are the issues that we need to tell the DCR about? But otherwise, you're going to duck and dive, because technocrats do that. They duck and dive the DCR council at the end of the day, you know, what they're thinking, are we talking about?
What is the
chairperson. And the other issue, the minister and the DG. In thinking about the wage bill, you know, because when you look at the whole week of the minister, we speak about the wage bill, and according to us, that bill, that law, maybe let the government tell about this issue called the bill, as a speaker, so that they can be able to assist the community. And then the one other also regarding the performance awards. What is that? The performance awards that were given to two officials. An amount of 96,000 were given to two officials. Can you explain to us? Because this tells us that each official is a receiver.
Sure.
But not the criteria of identifying the two officials. And why is a huge amount of money? And the use of consultants. We have a problem of you using consultants. Many consultants in such projects within your department. I don't know if you said whether we're very increased funding, because we are not, we don't want consultants to be used each and every time. There must be a serious transfer of some kind, so that the government will be able to do their work on their own.
Thank you, Chair. I think we, as you are saying, Chair, that we're sharing the other members of the day in terms of how we consolidate our work. But I'm sure, Chair, it would help also help us, because sometimes within government there's a particular way or a template that you need to use when you're talking. And sometimes those are some of the things that contain from saying what the members would expect some or they would want you to say. And that maybe going forward it would be important that we find ourselves and the honorable members in terms of what is expected, so that when we report we come across in the manner that is expected from the with regards to the overall performance on 2% is 2% target. In fact, because the minimum is 2%. We have failed to meet that in terms of the overall, not the Department of Food and Children's. We've met and moved beyond that. But with regards to persuading so that there's uniformity in terms of meeting that target, both the government department and private sector, we have not had to do that. So it's an area that needs a lot of work, and I would agree with the members that we might find a way of presenting so that the monitoring of that is very clear, so that the program is clear in terms of how then I'm going to move forward, because the target was March 2014 that we were supposed to meet that the agenda we have in Canada. So I think as a department we just, in fact, in terms of now as we move that function to the social development, somebody was debating with the minister in terms of what was happening. So that as the honorable members are saying that we need to present a program, not a event that says this is how we're going to deal with this matter now. Thank you.
Also to add that in an attempt to do that, we dedicated a unit to just look at the strategic action production we could use to address this issue of the implementation of the disability. And also, so just to let the economic members know that the Department of Health Express Administration is also looking at finding ways of ensuring that technical facilities are employed in the economic health express and that we do publish it. So it's also the economic members could also call the Department of Health Express Administration and say what is the impact in terms of employment of
Just one last one. I would just like an update, please, on what has happened with regard to the Council for Gender Violence. That was started with great trumpeting and people were drawn about it and thought collapsing very soon with former president, Deputy President, was something resigning and so on. That was something that was trumpeted about. Where are we? Is it effective? What's happening to it? Are you resurrecting it? Thank you.
So your question has been answered, but I would like to know where that lay from the department, because the only thing that I always make is every person not being employed. It's a reasonable accommodation. The public sector as well as the government, those people are not willing to pay. Because the people with disabilities need assistance, they need transport, they need accommodation, they need accessibility to building. That is why most of the time we find that disabled people are not being employed because of those issues. That is why I'm asking the department whether they, if they advocate for other departments to look at this issue of 2%. Do they also consider the reasonable accommodation of those people with disabilities? Thank you.
This is Tony. This is the biggest in the social development.
Tony.
The biggest when you have it in your apartment, you know, we went to visit on the bank in the house that she's staying in Pelican. There's no rent in the Acacia Park. There's no rent. So we are just embarrassed members of parliament, especially dealing with issues of disability and reasonable accommodation for them. You know, we are just shocked. Actually, we said we will call the minister for public health to come and speak to us. The member of parliament not being able to access her house, you know, that's just a problem. What about the rest when we treat other members of parliament? So, it's just a challenge to us. And with the issue of the wage bill, you know, the way you accepted it in the minister, to forward by the minister, that's my argument. Because you are seeing the recent approval. And for somebody else not sitting in this control committee, you are just giving an impression that this bill is has been passed by the minister assembly and the minister kind of, you know, the way you are seeing it. So silent and not a position, because the way amendments that were done in the SOP and 3 was supposed to come back to the National Assembly. So my comment is the way you have structured in the midst of performing.
And agreed with the consent, so she must give us an explanation. She's going to deal, she's going to take it back for everyone. That's what she said at the beginning of the when it first came into the comment. But I'm surprised that that's what she said.
Thank you very much. And though they submitted this annual report very much to Parliament, saying that they were updating the inside. So these are some of the things that to add to them and to them. And it is
I'm the National Council of Gender Violence.
I think one of the women is correct that the National Council was established in 2011 and launched in 2012. After processes of calling for the nominations and people coming forward, and then it started. Now, I think what we say out loud is that it was started, but in order for any institution, any agency to function, it's really and high on the order of the report needs a financial report. And the council was never adequately funded in the old financial. So those were some of the challenges that they faced. And yes, they set and they developed their strategies and they developed what their priorities, and we came to the portfolio committee on women, children, people with disability to present what was education of how the council would solve because physically we were and we approached, you know, the National Treasury and we must say that the government did, you know, give some a little bit of funding for some of the programs. I know that the previous minister in one of the debates announced that she had received donor funding, which was used to drive some of the problem. But we know the challenge with donor funding. Once it depends, the hardest depends on donor funding, so because it's not a sustainable situation. So hence when the minister came on board, she said, let me look at this and let me apply my mind and consult on this because the issue of GBV and the price of gender-based violence is still there and we are moving towards the 16 days of activism which raises awareness, but also now we are going to focus on prevention and also building and support and galvanizing the support from men and boys so that we are all in this in terms of crisis and everybody. We still are continuing with that. But the factor itself, which is not necessarily funny, still says after the portfolio committee to allow the time to apply their mind on that, consult on that. And then as soon as that has been finalized, she will definitely before it would go to cabinet for approval. I don't know that this is really a long way that process is, because it's what I know is by the Department of Public Service and Administration.
Yes, this is correct, and I think as Chair said that we just need to follow up on this as we go through the Department of Public Service. But I think we have been supporting the Department of Public Service and Administration. Because rightly, as the basis, you know, it's their mandate and responsibility to ensure that they guide government departments for reasonable accommodation. And I think the honorable member they were correct to say that this is one area that lots of become a area for employment of federal government. So it's an area that was supporting the Department of the UKSA. And that I am sure that the department will be able to present the update on the conversation that they are now in the conference.
Okay, thank you very much. This is at your Mr. Price, your office. and students in that old office of yours. What is the reason about that getting in the building or are they going to be done or be simple for the
I don't know, you know, looking at the kind of things, we are in discussions with public works in terms of getting better facilities, because in terms of the challenges, or the things that we picked up that are problematic with the building, some of them things that we cannot fix on our own. So both the ministers and the DGs have been in discussions to say we need to be given alternative accommodation.
Accommodation for government departments. There's a place by Philip Park called Power Hope that they're also looking at building a government department there. They presented to us that the city is having already identified the departments like the state, they're ready to move there and other departments. Also, as part of also building and the power, the planning and teaching as well within the digital center as well, upgrading the digital center. I know that the Department of Arts and Culture is just about to move. But as she was just saying, when they gave us that grant name, most of the departments are saying, what about now? Because yes, we've got futuristic, but now we are just in a situation where we've got buildings that are not free for our employees, both in terms of health and some hours of structural. This process, structurally. I mean, if you go into a lift, you're saying that the lift will be where you're going. And it's not a good looking in government for employees. But there are other challenges where I certainly need that to make it for until 2020 something. And the long term is that we're saying that they do. So there are those issues as well. It's not going to be easy for us to get out of that situation, but it's something that we have started working with the Department of Public Works, because then they need to find an alternative tenant, and unfortunately it's not viable for instance, and drive the thing. So it's a catch 22 situation, but it's something that we really are, we believe that we need to get a better space, because as we advance as a department, when our organizational structure is being concreted by the Minister of Public Service, we have to go to China for funding. Definitely the space is going to be a future. So as we go as a department and are able to deliver on money, we will need additional space for health care. So it's something that we're working on, and we need our leader to look at how we get out of that contract modification. Because anyway, the building itself is not serving as it is. And the landlord is not helping us either in terms of resolving that. It is fixed and it's habitable.
And because there were questions that were raised by Honorable Machis regarding the secretary of program, how do you identify the team, the criteria you see, your website issues, the first application, can you join the point? And also, in terms of your unnecessary in your annual report, the statement of contingent liability, the risk case against the department. Yes, also, can you speak to that? The CCMA, CCMA cases, cash 4 million, both of the presidency and the ELSA excellent, cannot be pitch. And also the ELSA 4, the list of departments and government entities, with regards to the money, I'm not quite sure what was happening here, since the time ago. What was that for?
The next two pages, one third for me to have one more question. Thank you. I was just going to the criteria for internship. And with the intern chair, what we did was we had the whole idea of internship, that people must get
experiential learning. So we get started by requesting mentors within the department. So we started by identifying units where there will be mentors, so people are trained themselves, because we also didn't want to be imposing intention, because we are very stuck in the end. So then units responded, and most of them were within monitoring and evaluation. Then we advertised publicly, and we shortlisted, we had interviews, and then before then we placed the interns. Before we placed the interns, on day one, we had a mentorship course for both the mentees and the mentors, so that the intern knows what to expect in this relationship. We know that in the process, it happens in some instances that an intern ends up doing something that they're not really supposed to be doing. So that's kind of a training to assist both mentors and mentees to be able to understand what you expect in the relationship, so that it's fruitful for both the mentee and the mentor. So they went to that two-day workshop, and then they've now been placed, three have been placed within the Women Empowerment and Gender Equality Unit Monitoring and Evaluation. And then we also have one for HR and one for monitoring and evaluation within strategic management. We are still in the process of putting one for risk management. The mentor they had a bereavement, unfortunately two members of his family passed away a week apart. So for that period when the mentor report he was not available. So now he's back in the office, and Jimmy and the HR unit there are facilitating the process of getting him a mentor, I mean an intern. They have an internship contract, but also now they are working on a leadership plan where we then put the outcomes that we want from the 12 months, and then we then monitor it on a quarterly basis. So it will not be the normal placement of an intern and forget about them, and then at the end of the contract phase, and it's going to be monitored properly so that the intern
Okay, thanks to Chairperson and honorable members. The Technogirl program, www.co.zn is the website in which I can have the information. Now we have a Facebook page, and through that partnership that has been created. UWESO.co.za would be the website, and we would be under that, and it would tell you about the book that we have, about 3,900 at 2010, and our plan going forward. And then we also have the Facebook page, Technogirl. Facebook page, it will be called Technogirl on Facebook. In terms of the criteria used, looking at which is disadvantaged schools and what is the DBE and the district offices to find create schools where are generally previously disadvantaged schools, and find the girls there. And what we are looking for are girls who are taking math, science, and those even comments as well, because we're looking for mathematics in terms of other commercial subjects as well, for people who might be doing some kind of mathematics, and different areas of engineering that might be used. So that is the criteria that is being used. Now, often that you find people are taking it in the subjects in grade 9, 10, they might still drop out of those subjects, and even if they go to university, they might not take those subjects. So part of why we support them into university, we encourage them to continue to take those subjects that will end them up in area of engineering. But those that we went with them, I think we are captured in the group that we report a session where the girl did attend. So we have taken a girl 3 years ago who was in the program as a high school student, and they're mostly disadvantaged. For example, one of the girls that went now to Sri Lanka, she is participating in the youth conference on gender mainstreaming youth into the 2015. So she was a 15-year-old orphan child, had a 3-month-old baby to take care of, and a 6-year-old, and has raised those through, you know, the intervention of OESA and our top and
So it's those type of if we make a criteria, it would be some who are terribly disadvantaged and some who are moderately disadvantaged. So you find those who, you know, who only have one family income and the family income from a tax environment, for example. So that would be the criteria, but I think the primary criteria is that those who aren't taking science, technology, engineering and math studies are currently from grade 9. Now what we found with grade 12 is that a lot of them have advanced seasons and other things that they're doing. So we're currently, and they are not able to participate in the program when they grade 12 as often as they would have done 11, 10, and 9. And so we're really looking at grade 12, and that is as of this year. You know, so that's the criteria that we are using. Now probably give a most recent example. On the 30th of September, we had a naturally inclined student who was actually talking to either the technical alumni or talking to the technical girls about actually science. So we do have a continuous, I mean, I suppose, like you say, we will have to find a place to put those kinds of, in terms of what is it that you're doing, what story do you take, and how do you identify them. And another way that it's not necessarily a formal line, for example, if I go to the high school in Soweto and talk about the typical program, those girls who are taking those classes will indicate to others they're doing that, how they're taking it, where could they have the capacity. And maybe, for example, if you talk about the capacity and in the party, you'll find that it's just myself and somebody else, there's two of us. So we need ways to be able to go out to the schools, look at the girls, do the profiling of each of the girls, and then we can work with them in that kind of way. It's quite intense work that needs to be done, that really needs an extra pair of hands to actually get that done. So that's it. I hope you answered the question, but those are the criteria. Thank you.
And
finally,
Mr. Nadal,
let's
talk about UNICEF and how they want to
change. Yes, and I think that's part of the situation that UNICEF are also doing, we want to scale it up internationally, and they want to see how great the program, the model program can be done. So we took it 2 years ago, we took it again last year, and so it becomes a best practice model that they're looking at, like, in terms of sustainability. UN is looking to be engaging with us, you know, with the department and UNICEF and UN Women to help it can be scaled up. So that rather than just a school funding program, that you actually always have an international exchange for them.
Thank you, Jonathan. The contingent liability on page 154. The contingent liability is a possible debt that might arise to the department depending on the outcome of the case. Now, the transaction number one, this is the MDA cases, it is an arbitration case of the business official that somewhere we said to. Now, depending on the outcome or result of the case, we might have to send to the department and pay that amount, which was calculated on a six-month period of their salary, to date. The aid car accident is an aid car that was hired. It was involved in an accident. The case is still pending. Now, depending on whether the case then it is the department of the case, then that is why we put there. Because the claim from ABC is the 200,000. So as long as it's not decided yet, so we put it there. And then the president claims, on induction of the department, the president is in 2011 and 2009 came. It didn't have this bank account and it was serving. When we started, it was serving with the president. Now, towards the end of 2012, they brought invoices that these are the expenses which we incurred on the behalf of someone who were not yet established. Pay us back. So we said we don't have the money, so that we'll have to intervene and decide who should pay who. But it might be resolved because there was a Swedish debt which would the president transferred to us on our inspection when there was a program
that was responsible for people with disability. So it had an amount that was put of 3 million. So that amount was good cover for. Instead of presidents dealing with that amount, writing it off or doing whatever they have to, they transferred to us whilst the university was not cover for. So let not try to intervene, and it was decided that it has to go back to the president. So with that amount that they owe us, we owe them, we're going to let the two off. Then they are going to lay all that about 500,000. But we're still in the process of dealing with that. One has to pay, but then we're not paying. If you owe us more, why should we pay more? And then page 165 claims the cover up, it is claims due to us from other sister departments. Like for example, I would be transferred from another department, and then that department would take plus minus a month or two to transfer me to women, and the wife, they are paying us, and then they are paying me, then we owe each other. Like the performance bonus, that was paid for another department for us, that we would be paying payable to that department. And then same on page 156 is the opposite, it's claim payable by us to other departments.
Just for interest sake, did the president do what he did to you in the monitoring and planning? Because monitoring and planning was established in the president. Do they have a separate account? And did they do exactly, I mean, the last 5 years that they were established, did they do what they did to you in terms of those accounts? Or is it only done to the union and
just on the way something. You know, our meetings get recorded and stuff, so any official report, trying to get a report, see people don't understand any speak of treasury, they think it's a president. So let's clear it up. When she says president, is not a president. So people are not, when people read, because I'm going on Google and I'm reading all things that you are saying in the committee. When people read, when they say presently, they think it's a president. We understand that they go with the wording, please, we use the wording correctly. Thank you.
It's the president, the office of the president.
Yes. Well, the question was to reach where he is, not the president who runs the office.
The president.
That's what it was, the question, I guess.
Both ones. But it's an interpretation. People that don't understand the new blood that is happening there.
It's an open meeting, so we can do whatever we want. And we have anything. Is there any matter that is authentic? So we have asked something. But when we were following up on the issue of the 3 million and this claim that we have taken to the president, we were told that at the time there was being, we're not the same, we're not treated the same as EDPME. However, at the time there was a challenge of resources, human resources. So they had to share the CFO and some staff members, finance members, finance officials and finance. So the CFO was wearing the cap of the presidency and wearing the cap of the women. and then there were certain accounts which had not been opened, written in our own name. They were then, we were then trading under the name of the president, and then the doctor.
Yeah, and I think we have to close this meeting. This meeting will then assist us to consolidate our own budget review and recommendation for the second year. We are thinking about the future of this department, which is on the budget. So we should not be anything outstanding.
No, I'm saying that the department they need to establish new letters so that we can get them to know exactly what they are doing, especially in all province. Each and every government developing in any letter, but you can be able to report to people for all the things that they are doing. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lopez. What is the biggest cost for Fiona? But it's still the very next office unit in the presidency, other units in the premiers office, others are located in the NEC office. The federal is just the budget provinces. But it is very good that you will take the question even for your own department, national department. I think you must get that. Whether people like negative or discussions about your department, you must start a rebranding. Anything, are you fine, other members? I find so we are ready to deal with the recommendation. Next week. Next. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, DJ and the team for coming and presenting our report for 2015-2014. I just want to come forward in the new ministry and show you how. And I think you will also appear, you get a written invite, you will also appear before the committee on the 4th of November to deal with the first quarterly report. Because you have already received your quarterly report for 2015. So on the 1st of November, you will come and present the second quarterly report. If there's anything that you want to present to the committee, speak to the committee section or the chairperson's office. Yes, because I know like the chairperson. So if there's anything you will then discuss with the committee section. Thank you very much, honorable members. It has been a long day for you and thank you for your support. Surely I've been a very good chief at the Senate. Oh, yes. Thank you very much to the department. Thank you very much for coming. We need around the 4th of November. Oh yes, this is your CEO. Yes, I love you. Thank you very much. Let's see. Welcome to the outlet. Let's see.